This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out of Me.
Welcome, everyone. You know the drill. Go to your web zones, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're on it. You can also follow us on Instagram at They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Or if there's any places where...
Sorry, at Team Cone.
Or if there's any places where you'd like to hear the podcast, please let us know.
Yeah, I mean, drop us a line on any of our... We're on pretty much all the socials.
We'll get there.
Drop us a line. Add a suggestion if you want. We do one every five episodes, all that good stuff. Mm. Also, tune in this
Sunday.
We are not doing an episode, but we are doing something special for you guys.
We are going to try to also do an episode on the following Tuesday.
Yes.
Just because you know... Because we
love you. Well, we want to continue. We want to do movie reviews for you guys, too.
Because we love you guys. Yes. This Sunday, we are doing a live stream. It's coming. It's almost here. Okay.
Yes. So, six-hour live stream coming this Sunday. That's April 21st.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, join us or hang out
or watch
listen to it after, whichever you want to do.
You know, whatever you want to do. I mean, we make it convenient for you.
Always be available.
Whatever you feel is necessary for yourself. But if you would like to come chat with us live, we are going to be there. So,
yes.
You know, come hang out, watch us play shit games. If you want to ask us questions, we'll kind of do
that. About whatever.
We'll just kind of hang out. It's just going to be a vibe. So
nothing serious.
Please come hang out. Please, you know, and look forward to more episodes. We're going to try and do one on Tuesday. Sorry that we're doing this one a little late.
But you still got your weekly episode.
But you still got it.
So you can't complain.
No, you can't. You can't.
Okay. We didn't lie to you.
Unless you're an OG and you're like, why don't you do two episodes a week like you used to?
Because life happens.
Because you know what? We can't do that anymore.
Because life happens.
And you know what? We don't make any money off this podcast. So it's like it's our own free time. So we love doing it.
We do this for literally no reason.
We do it for the love of the game.
This is true.
Because we are a very, very small podcast. We don't get monetized. And we just appreciate everyone that does listen. So once a week is fine with us, and I'm sure once a week is fine with our good listeners.
And, especially because we have over 200 episodes to listen to. Our dear friend, Black Water Media, wanted more...
The legend.
You wanted more Al Adams and stuff. So...
Oh, God.
We're not... I'm saying this right now. We're not going to do a shitrospective like we did with a certain unnamed filmmaker. Because that was way too painful, but...
Well, we just needed to get through that, really.
But, because he requested more Al Adamson content...
No, hear me out.
Uh-huh.
Blackwater Media, this is for you directly, that wants us to watch more Al Adamson. We're not doing a shit retrospective, but keep suggesting Al Adamson movies.
I was going to say, I will squeeze them in because I know there's several, obviously, like I'm...
So in a certain way, we're doing a very slow shit retrospective.
Well, you'll see.
I mean, peppered through. It's going to be... I don't think you're going to do one after
no,
the
no,
other.
No. absolutely not.
Because when we did a certain shit retrospective, it was every other episode that we did the director.
We just want to get it over with.
Yes. Because now we don't have to review those movies
watch them
later.
Even though he unretired himself like an idiot.
Which we're not watching. We're not.
No, I'm not.
We're not doing it. Uwe Boll is the one that you'll see. It's around episode 100.
Episode 100 we started.
Because we wanted to do something special. So we did a shit retrospective on our least favorite director of all time. And there's a reason that he's our least favorite director. If you've seen his movies, you know.
But for Al Adamson... The movies of his that are relevant, I guess, for our content.
Yeah,
I will squeeze them in bit by bit because I know he's got.
We'll pepper them in.
He's got several.
We're not going to do one after the other, but we will pepper them in. and we will get to probably most of them that aren't like, you know, comedies and
or family movies, because like, he made those for some reason. Imagine.
Maybe if we get big enough, I'll do an Al Adamson retrospective by myself.
Don't do it. No one needs that.
Only if we get monetized.
Not even Al Adamson.
Only if we get monetized, I'll do it. I'll make that promise. If we get enough followers, so share this. If we get enough followers, I will personally do a shit retrospective on Al Adamson. That includes his family movies. I will do that.
So you'll do like a 10-hour...
Yeah.
Have fun.
I'll do a watch-along if,
no,
if
whoa, you want whoa, me whoa. You want to...
Now, that's... Again...
You want to get alcohol poisoning.
This is if we get monetized. I'm not doing it for free.
Don't make that promise. It's dangerous.
Already did. It's already out there, dude. Okay. We don't script these, and I've already said it. It's already on our digital footprint. It's out there. That's it.
Rest in peace.
And I think that's enough of the business. Yeah. Please join us this Sunday, though. And we will be doing an episode shortly after that, too, so that we can get back
on that Tuesday
onto the train of just reviewing movies.
On lovely films like this.
Let's get to 1987.
So.
With a bang. With a clatter. With a... unemotional cop. one way out. Boy, howdy. There was multiple ways out, but we kept going.
You know, in 1987, there is a little movie.
There's a few little movies, actually, well, that we
there's
referenced.
Many, there's many movies, but there's a little movie. You might have heard of it. 1987, called Lethal Weapon.
No, I never heard of it.
No, yeah, it's never. Not... No.
Not one of the most iconic buddy cop movies ever.
Not one of the best action movies of the 80s or anything like that. But in that movie, you had a cop whose wife died, and he is very on edge. He's suicidal. He doesn't care about himself, and he's very willing to go and do all sorts of crazy things.
Well, I mean, the movie starts out with him almost killing
one of the first scenes.
Almost killing himself, so.
Is a very famous scene where he's watching Looney Tunes, and it's like a happy scene, but he is looking at a picture of his wife, and he loads up a gun and tries to shoot himself. Great scene. Great movie. And, you know.
Awesome movie. I would suggest going to watch that over this.
This guy, in 1987, some guy named Ivan Rogers, wrote... And produced.
Here's what I think happened with Ivan Rogers. I think he
got a lobotomy.
He did. I mean, he deep fried his own movie.
I think this dude's insane.
He fucking.
I'm pretty sure.
Because he wrote, produced, acted. He didn't direct this movie.
No, he got some idiots directing.
But I think he had some big influences on behind the camera as well.
Oh, well, it's a vanity project.
It's a vanity project, very clearly. I wonder if he got a whiff of like what was happening in Lethal Weapon, because I don't know if Lethal Weapon had come out by the time this came out.
Well, the other one, there's obviously Lethal Weapon's the big one, because even this has like, they partner him with a woman.
Well, yeah, but I mean, because it's like, there are scenes of him trying, like, about to kill himself. Yeah, yeah. Three scenes in total. And they do, like, the whole Lethal Weapon thing, except stupid.
Except it keeps cutting away.
Because he keeps cutting away, and there's no emotion. Like, this guy has zero emotion.
Yes, because the other big one, a film that we just watched, is Cobra. Because he's, you know, he is the crazy cop that doesn't care, and he bends the rules, and his captain's always bitching him out. And blah-bitty, blah-blah-blah.
Well, he doesn't care so much that he has literally zero emotion.
Now,
I promise you, you watch all hour and 23 minute of this movie, there is zero emotion from this man. There's very little going on. There's very little synapses firing in his brain.
After watching this, there's not that many firing in my brain either.
It's true.
But...
especially after the ending.
I think... for reasons of insanity, we need to discuss this chronologically.
Okay, let's do it. That's fine. That's fine with me.
Because then it's like Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. You know, you go down the river,
Yeah.
And it's a
Everything's
journey,
normal,
fine, and like, it's a journey into insanity as you go down the river.
Yeah, and you'll
That's
see.
That's how I think.
You'll see. The last 15 minutes are...
Because look, one of my favorite movies is Apocalypse Now. One of our favorite games of all time is Spec Ops The Line.
Yeah.
So we just...
Highly underrated game.
We just love Heart of Darkness.
If you haven't played that, go play Spec Ops The Line. It's
if
so
you want
good.
More information, you can ask us on our live stream on this Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's, this will be like that. Except there is no Captain Kurtz at the end. It's just Ivan Rogers and his lack of emotion.
Yeah, you're right. Let's start semi-normal. It's not... None of this movie is very good, per se. So we'll start out...
How you would watch...
Yeah. So let's just get into it. Let's just tear off the Band-Aid and come with us on this journey... To insanity.
Because, so, it starts off with him, and we're doing this off the cuff. Like, we didn't take any notes. This is off the cuff. But
okay,
it starts
so
off...
It's one of his suicide attempts.
But it starts off with him, like, washing dishes, remember?
Well, yeah, and it's just a straight-up, like, two-minute ass shot.
Well, it starts with, like, it's like, it shows, like, a picture of his wife.
Okay,
it,
well, yeah, so there's establishing shots, obviously.
And then it, like, pans, and it's him...
But you get the clear impression that no one on this fucking set knew how to frame
Bold.
Their fucking like camera.
Bold. I also love when he turns
Bold.
On,
what are you talking about? Bold.
It's experimental. I love when he turns on the radio.
Nothing is in frame.
That's experimental.
Nothing in this entire movie is in frame.
It's experimental. It's on purpose because it shows that our protagonist's mind is cracked.
And I guarantee when anything's in frame, I will say this right now.
It's an accident?
It is purely an accident.
By chance.
It's just by chance that the character just happened to be in frame for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Also, I love...
Okay, so yeah, he turns on the radio and his messages.
But my favorite thing is, I don't care about the messages. Fuck the messages.
They're unimportant.
But the most important thing is when he turns on the radio, immediately the announcer's like...
Like crime and
crime drugs. Is up. Crime and drugs are up 50%. And it's like...
So it keeps showing his wife. It shows his ass shot.
What's another movie we watched that started with crime statistics?
Like...
Cobra!
Well, and there's like a billion movies that fucking start with like... crime and like fucking like drug
yeah but
lords.
What movie started literally
Cobra,
with crime
yeah.
statistics
yeah Cobra yeah
again original filmmaking but and then he loads dishes while we get shots of his ass and then we get another shot on the opposite side of the room
of
his
wife and then he loads one bullet
oh no we get a shot of a liquor bottle.
It's Dewar's white label. It's a scotch.
Good job remembering that, you fucking wino.
Listen, people don't know. It's kind of my job.
We'll get there one day. but this is true. However.
I know brands.
But, yeah, it's right there. And, I mean, I guess, I mean, they must not have gotten in trouble for using it. But he, you know, pours a glass.
Yes.
And then he sits down with a pistol.
He loads one bullet into the chamber.
Points it at his head.
Points it at his head and it cuts away.
It cuts to him at a firing range with a bunch of other cops.
So he's training, he's unflinching, he doesn't
and he
react, and he
you know, hits all of his marks or whatever.
And then it says, you know, one way, like it starts the credits. And for some reason, it shows one way out twice.
One time it's like a neon store sign, and then the other time it's not. Sure, whatever. Then there is a scene in a strip club.
Yeah, a very long, awkward scene. You'll notice, again...
Do not use the word awkward ever again.
You'll notice...
Because if you use the word... If you start using the word
Can I use the word linger?
No, do not use the word linger or awkward now, because if you start using it now, it will live on through the whole episode.
Okay, let's just say they sit with this strip club for quite a while.
No. Will, they
You're not
sit with everything.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, but like you keep saying I can't say words.
No, just set this expectation. Every time people talk in this movie, there's like, it's like they're using a fucking Pony Express or something. It's like, they just say like, hello, how are you? It's like
a carrier pigeon could fucking give information faster than these guys.
Every fucking scene.
Well, especially scenes with our main guy.
Oh no, with him.
He barely talks.
He gets the extra silent privilege because with him it's like,
because he's a tortured soul.
It's
okay?
it's like hello, shot of him staring, shot of person who said hello.
What's weird? my favorite part, and I know this is jumping forward a little bit. There are certain scenes where they will literally be talking to him. And they ask him a question, and he does not answer at all, and they just continue the conversation. The
lack of answer says it all, okay?
Well, but, like, they literally continue the conversation like he had answered them.
Yes.
They just literally just go on.
The silence is the answer.
Apparently, because we have a tortured... Now, if you like to connect with your main characters in movies...
Good luck.
Good luck connecting with this guy.
You're not going to do it.
You're not going to. He stonewalls everyone.
This is the least.
So again, lingers. Sorry, my bad. I didn't mean to use the word linger. We get a long and extended scene in the strip club.
Glacially paced.
Of him going up to an informant.
Would you say that our main actor is charismatically challenged? Because I would.
I don't even know if he knew the meaning of charisma in the entire movie.
Well, it's just like, because you think about like, you know, Cobra, like Cobra is like, you know.
Well, think of like anti-Riz, like he's like, he's like the least cool person you'll ever meet.
Well, it's like all those like bad cops, right? They're always like kind of the strong silent types. And it's like, okay, well, what happens when you take that and you give it to an idiot?
Well, it's like they turn the dial to 10. They just like, we're just like, okay, he's gonna not say anything.
Literally no emotion.
And be fucking unemotional and just like, basically they turn it to robot level.
Yeah, he's gonna be uncool for the whole thing.
Just cold, calculated, well, not really calculated because he's dumb. He makes dumb decisions the entire fucking movie. Dude,
everything just stumbles in his lap.
Anyway, we're getting kind of sidetracked.
So strip club.
So guy starts dancing around and he gives the money to the fucking stripper and then he goes back and sits down. And this lasts like fucking like 2 minutes.
Our dude walks in, sits next to him and is like, give me information. And he's like, well, I need insurance.
And then some guy walks into the bar.
And starts staring at him.
And the guy gets up.
And he gets spooked. Like visibly.
So our informant, the guy who wants insurance, gets spooked, leaves the bar, right? Then our cop gets up,
follows him out,
leaves the
bar.
The
whole time they keep cutting to the stripper who's looking like, what the fuck, confused.
So yeah, cop gets up, leaves the bar. Then the guy that's staring at the problem gets off the bar, walks out of the... We have to see
every single one of them
leave the bar on their own accord.
That's how the movie operates. Then,
because we can't just cut to them outside.
No, they're outside, and he's like, you know, he's like following the informant, and informant's like, that guy in there, he's gonna kill me.
So they go around the corner, and
the dude follows them, and he shoots at them.
Yes, and we get a very just incoherent fight scene.
Oh no! He shoots at them, and they run away, and then he walks around a corner, and then our fucking one way out is pointing a gun at them. And then there's a drive-by?
Yeah, so like they drive by and then they shoot the informant.
And then they drive away and they ram into a parked car.
And again, I know I've said this before, but you'll notice that our main dude cannot get harmed by bullets at all.
It's an action movie.
Well, I know, but like, well, it's a little...
I out of the Mount Everest of complaints for this movie. I'm sorry. That is at the bottom.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you think that he's going to get harmed that way in the movie, just don't.
You know, in most action movies, how, like, your hero will usually get, like, some blood on their face?
That's what I mean. Like, it never happens. It never happens.
Because he is perfect.
He has the most impervious plot armor of any main character ever.
Perfect. But they, you know, they ram... Oh, my God. They ram into a parked car and explode. And we burst out laughing.
Yes.
Because it's filmed... It's set up and filmed... Like something out of Naked Gun.
I'm not kidding. It feels like a spoof movie for a minute. Because
like it feels like a Zucker Brothers gag where like, you know, the bad guys show up and they're all badass and they shoot you and then they just fucking plow straight into a parked car that's parked right in front of them and then blow up. It's just... But this is not a spoof.
No. Listen, you said this before we started recording. This is the kind of movie that our podcast was made for because it feels like
pure insanity.
It feels like a spoof, right? The entire movie feels like a Naked Gun movie, but they are playing it so earnestly.
There is no jokes.
There's like, they are literally trying so fucking hard to make this look so cool failing at every level.
Well, it's better because this is a vanity project. So you know that like it's full.
Well, don't worry.
Passion project.
Because basically the next scene is we start with the tropes. Because he's at the
captain.
He's at the police office and he's getting reprimanded for
ruining the operation.
Because
the informant dies because he got shot.
Well, but they had an undercover and it was the stripper. That's why she was acting so weird. And watching them all leave the bar.
Well, you get one of your tropes that they just throw out the window right away because she's there and the captain's like, you fucked up, how dare you, you're a bad cop, blah, blah, blah. You have a partner. You have to get along with your partner because we've all seen these movies.
Yeah, but they get along almost immediately.
There's no fucking point!
There's literally, there's no awkwardness between them at all.
Any other movie, it's like, you get the, you know, like, I mean... I hate to be a broken record, but like Lethal Weapon, you have like the fucking, you know, Danny Glover's character is the family man and he just wants to be done with this. And then Mel Gibson's character is a fucking lunatic and you get both of them and they butt heads. Like that's a good chunk of the movie.
Well, it's like opposites attract, right? Where it's like you have, that's the whole conflict between the two characters you're supposed to have. They're polar
opposite. Any cop movie.
We've seen it on the podcast.
Any fucking cop movie.
Any cop movie gets this.
And this.
Where you have two polar opposites.
Yeah.
And they have to work together to like.
To crack the case.
For a common good.
Yeah.
Well, it's like any fucking.
Any fucking movie. Any
fucking buddy cop movie you watch has this.
And then this movie.
Even Turner and Hooch has this.
And then this fucking movie, this fucking idiot, is like, they have one scene where they're just like, I don't like you. Well, we have to work together. Okay.
That's it.
And then
now they're working together. So the next scene,
this is when you knew. I think this is when you knew.
The bar, right?
The outdoor, like... cafe.
Right. Yeah.
This is when you knew.
Okay, so yeah. So they're talking and they're like, okay, like, you know, you need to say, like, what do you know so far, basically?
And then...
And she answers.
I know this. And then he just stands up.
Without...
No prompting. No prompting. No nothing.
He doesn't say a single fucking word to her.
He stands up and just walks. And I'm like, what's happening?
There's
a dude with a fucking book and a woman. And he's like, walk away.
He's like, he doesn't want to walk away.
Bitches leave.
Give me the book. And then. The
guy's like, you got a warrant. Give me the book. Okay.
This is our dude. Give me the book. Takes the book.
And he opens it up. There's a little baggie.
He tastes it. It's drugs. He just stares at the guy. He's like, yeah, just have it.
Tell me something. Go to the warehouse at the corner of Lincoln and 2nd. End. Literally. That's it.
And they go to the warehouse.
He tells them, follow the music.
Yeah. Okay?
And then you see two fucking uncles.
I'm
not kidding.
I want to set the scene for you. It is a entirely empty warehouse. Entirely empty.
Huge.
Massive. It's huge warehouse.
And in the middle,
there is one tiny little small insignificant desk.
With two guys.
With two guys listening to deathcore.
And like bags of drugs and money. Sure.
And a Coca-Cola bottle for some reason. I don't. Well, because like in any other movie, you have like this big operation, right? And this is just two schlubby dudes fucking.
Or it's like, you know, you have like, okay, if you just have two guys, it would just be like two dudes in like a small apartment or something. Not a giant warehouse.
Why would they rent out a giant warehouse?
With deathcore.
One table.
You probably hear it like across the fucking street.
One fucking table of cocaine.
You say table. I just want you to know it's like one of those tiny little fucking like.
It's like one of those folding like card tables.
Yeah.
It's like this tiny little thing.
Yeah. Two people barely fit on it.
So our fucking dude and his new partner burst in. And
they bust down the door.
They're holding shotguns and they're like, okay, like, you know,
drop it.
And then
like, no, fuck you. You drop it.
And then it cuts to them. The drug people.
Well, one of them grabs the woman.
Well, no. Okay. So I want to set this up too, because we have one guy sitting down with a shotgun, like pointing it at him. And the two are like pointing their guns. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, for no reason, they cut back to our detectives and they're pointing their guns the wrong way.
Well, no, they keep cutting, like, they keep showing like shots from different angles, but it just looks, it's called the 180 rule. And you know, movies usually don't want to break it, but this movie just said fuck you.
This movie has no boundaries,
so they break it multiple times, but they're like pointing the guns in one direction. They keep cutting the angle and they're clearly not in the same shot, not in the same position.
I think you're giving them far too much credit that they even knew what the fucking 180 rule was.
I don't think they knew what anything was, because at some point when they're doing this, we see a little girl wander into the warehouse and they turn around to look at her and she's holding like a toy gun or something, and they look at her.
When she makes a noise and runs away.
And then while they look at her, one of the guys gets up and grabs the woman. And then he's looking at the one of the guys who's sitting down. And they say some generic nonsense.
Like, they're basically like, oh, you're not going to shoot me, blah, blah, blah. And he fucking shoots him twice.
More than twice. He shoots him like five times because they keep doing the avant-garde, like, where he keeps shooting and it shows, like, angles of the abandoned warehouse. And then he points his gun at the guy holding her hostage, and he's just like, okay, man. Okay.
He's like, you're crazy.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. And then.
Because they really try really hard to set up that this guy is fucking. He's a loony, you know?
Well, at some point.
He's crazy.
It might be after this scene.
He's hardened.
It might be after this scene that we get another shot of him at home with another shot of the desk portrait of his wife, and he tries to commit suicide again.
Well, so remember, he's also talking to her, and she, his new partner is like, well, would you have shot? Cause he was, you know, he's about to shoot.
She's sitting in her apartment in the middle of the night and she calls him and she's like, did I wake you? No. Would you have shot if he didn't let me go?
No.
End scene.
And then she just hangs up. That's it. Because why?
Because why bother? Because they think that this is how you build like pathos, you know.
Well, this but is it also, ain't. Well, also like maybe try and have a likable main character.
No. I cannot think of the last action movie I've seen where the main character was just so not there.
He's like absent from his own movie.
Yeah, like
it's like a vanity project where he didn't understand what the fuck vanity is.
Well, it's like where's the one-liners?
Where he doesn't say a cool thing in the entire movie.
The one time there's like one time when he's like talking to the main baddie and he says something to him and he's not even like that insulting and he just says,
watch yourself.
No, he's just like, I'll remember you said that. And that's it.
Like that's our big like
Whoa.
Okay, so anyway, again, we're getting off track. Let's keep going chronologically.
Trying to. I'm already forgetting.
So now they go back to a warehouse, because is where we get our drug kingpin guy.
Somebody tells him to go there, and
I can't remember. Listen, there's a scene where someone tells them to go somewhere. I think it's in the... No. Wait. Is that the bar scene? Or is the bar scene after the drug
court? I think it's the bar scene. So there's a...
Because we need to talk about the bar scene.
There's a part where they go to a bar.
When they, like, they think they know someone that can help them get information, right?
He goes to the bartender. He's like, I need to talk to blah-bitty blah. And the bartender goes to the other side of the bar,
dude,
and just looks at some guy.
And of course, it's like his head is fucking like halfway cut off by the frame.
And he just nods. And then he goes over there and just says, like, go to the door.
I love this scene.
What the fuck?
Because our main detective guy, he gets up and he goes to the other end of the bar.
Just stands
and there. He just fucking stands.
Why he stands
just
there?
Awkwardly stand there while like
while he stands there while he stands there okay. Like a video game character.
Yeah, he just
some guy.
It's like he went AFK.
Yeah,
he just stepped away from his controller.
Some guy sits down next to his partner and starts like sweet talking her.
So then the big dude that the bartender nodded at, he goes to another end of the wall, and then he goes up.
He nods.
Yep, he nods, and then he goes up to our dude
who's just.
He's just standing staring at a door.
And then he looks at him.
And he knows, so he like punches that dude. And then the other dude like kind of rushes him.
And then the woman like grabs the guy who's been sweet talking her and just holds a gun to his back. And they keep cutting to her holding a gun to this dude's back while he's just standing there like nothing. Like he's not resisting. He's not doing it. He's just staring there like a statue.
Well, and the bartender's like doesn't know what to do either. It's really awkward. And then our dude, so the guy lunges at our main detective and he gets knocked down. And then for some reason the woman just decides to shove this guy to the fucking ground.
He looks like a fucking marionette.
He just gets shoved to the fucking ground for no reason. And the bartender just suddenly reveals a shotgun.
And she shoots him, and he stumbles like a bowling pin, like backwards. And then, like, he falls on the bar and shoots at nothing.
And I guess the detective shot at him again, and then they just leave the bar. But they capture one of the guys.
As our main man, one way out is leaving the bar.
There's a guy.
I am calling that because I don't care about his name. There's a guy like next to a wall.
Oh, he's just waiting.
With like a something, and he's just waiting.
Well, he's just waiting there. Just I guess he's been waiting there the whole time.
So while one way out, he makes his way there, and then he ducks right in time.
Yep.
Of course. He takes the guy and he arrests him, and this guy tells him where to go.
Well, so they do this like stupid interrogation scene where he's like, you shot all my guys, and why would they blah 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 blah.
Well, they set it up like, you know, other movies have like, you know, good cop, bad cop, but in this movie they just don't do that. They just sort of like
they have no time to waste because they have to.
Give us the information.
They have to do the really long.
You did this and that. I'll get you for this. Give us the information.
Okay.
Okay, go to the warehouse on the corner
here.
Go here. On the corner of King and Third.
And so
okay.
They go there and they meet our drug kingpin.
They walk into an abandoned warehouse, which is probably the same abandoned warehouse from earlier part of the movie.
They walk into a fancy office.
With a big portrait of the pyramids in the background. And a guy who looks like Mr. T just standing in the corner with sunglasses indoors.
I almost thought he looked like CeeLo. Like CeeLo Green.
No, I know who he looks like. He looks like Barry White.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. But he's just standing in the corner, sunglasses on, indoors. And you're just like, okay, that's a bodyguard.
Well, clearly.
And then they talk to our main our main drug baddie who has a tendency of waiting like 10 seconds to respond to people.
Well, it's like our one way out guy. He just literally like waits forever to fucking respond.
It's a movie about the duality of man.
Yeah, if you wait long enough to...
Because our good guy waits an eternity to respond to people, and so does our bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like Highlander. They can only be one man who responds after an eternity.
So, like, what are you doing? You ain't got nothing on
me. He like, you know, what are you doing? Lights cigarette, takes puff, lets out smoke. You have nothing. Like, the whole scene is just them, like, threatening him. With like, we're gonna get you,
but it's like it's like any one of these scenes would be like maybe like a minute long in other.
Well, it's also movies. Like, would you even need this fucking scene?
This is like a
they have nothing.
It's snail's pace.
Yeah,
because nothing happens. They literally have nothing to go on.
They just threaten him. He tells his bodyguard to show them out, and then our dude punches the bodyguard a couple times and then they leave.
I love the
Okay. Whatever.
So then they leave, and then is this the where One Way Out gets ambushed by the fucking guys in the car?
Yeah, he
I don't know if there's any other scenes.
The only thing I'll say is that there's a point when his partner is talking to the cop and she's like, why is he so hardcore? Basically.
Well, and the boss is like, well, his wife was raped and murdered. And
then at some point before this, we also got a quick scene that came out of completely nowhere. And I fucking called it, where it's a POV shot of some dude and he like walks into a shower.
Yeah.
And you see some woman getting out of the shower and it just looks like a fucking shoe commercial. Because just shots of his shoes like stomping along the floor and... He, like, chases her into the bedroom, and then she screams, and then you see, like, a straight razor.
Yeah.
And it, like, slices, and it's covered in blood, and it just, that scene goes away.
Well, because right after that, it shows him, like, attempting another, to kill himself again.
But.
Which it immediately cuts away
but
from.
But see, you thought the more interesting thing. You're like, oh, is this going to be, like, a slasher bust the drug lord movie? Wrong.
It's
I was like, it's a fucking flashback.
I was grasping on anything
and to you're be like more interesting. How does our character have a flashback of something he didn't see? And my answer to you is, it's not for him, it's for the fucking idiots in the audience like me. That's
but,
who it's for.
But again, how could he be thinking of it if he didn't see it happen?
Because he is one way out.
He saw the aftermath. He didn't see what happened.
That goes fucking nowhere. But they just threw that in to fuck with you.
Yeah, for flavor.
Flavor, yeah.
For like bland flavor.
But yeah,
flavor.
The captain tells her like, you know, he busted this big drug operation, and then right after he busted it, someone raped and murdered his wife. That's why he's crazy. He's a crazy cop. Whatever.
Well, so he's just driving. There's a scene where he's just driving and some white car comes up and it's just a guy holding a fucking shotgun out the window and they awkwardly pull up to his car and then back off. And then it shows the same scene again. and then they show a scene where they finally pull up next to the fucking one way out and fire. And of course, no bullets hit him.
Nothing happens. Nothing,
it's a scatter shot from point blank
nothing
range.
Nothing actually happens.
And nothing happens. He parks his car.
He pulls into an alleyway. They park on the street. They walk into the alleyway. They look around. They shoot at his trunk.
They when shoot it, at... keep showing a shot of like a manhole cover.
They shoot at a like... door. The scene goes on for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And nothing. Then they walk away. And then he pops out of the manhole cover and blows both of them away.
And then he throws his shotgun over his shoulder like a
badass. And then he goes to where they park the car and he beats up the driver and arrests him. And then there's a scene. This broke you. This broke you.
Dude, because
they.
You know why it broke me? Because I don't think I've seen something this ridiculous for a very long time.
I don't know if you will.
And then we saw the ending.
So the guy who spilled the beans from the bar, they release him
from
jail.
So we see
they put him in a fake police van.
Well, fake as far as the movie. It's a real police van in the movie.
Let's talk about, before we get to this, let's talk about the random scene where the main bad guy just pulls up to some guy on the street with a liquor bottle and confronts him about, like, spilling the beans on something.
Well, there's also that awkward scene where it's just some fat dude, like, bending over a box.
Don't talk about that.
And the fucking drug lord just opens the box and the scene ends.
Don't talk about that. That scene...
There's scenes that, like, make zero fucking sense.
Jesus wept.
And I think they're trying to, like, show his, like,
his operations,
but it's just, like, it doesn't go anywhere.
They think they're doing something. But no, they, like, confront this guy on the street, like, you know, like, about spilling the beans or something, and then they drive away, and after they drive away, the guy just looks at nothing and just says, like, what do I know?
Yeah, there's two scenes where they respond after the scene has already been ended.
And then, after that, there's a part where they find his body in an alleyway, and there's a bunch of cops, and they're all wearing civilian clothes.
And, like, touching this dead body without, like, gloves or anything. They're just fucking twisting his arm around and fucking, like, just, like, rustling the body.
But they have the police tape, Will. What else do you need?
You know what? So you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want after you put the police tape up.
My suspension disbelief was totally activated.
Now, remember that guy that... Because... There was a random scene where they go back to confront the drug guy, and they're like, we found a body in the river, and we know that it was your drugs.
But that wasn't in the river.
But here's the thing.
Don't.
We don't ever fucking see them finding a body in a river.
Don't.
Ever.
Don't
ever.
Even mention that.
They just conveniently go to him with this information.
They didn't have the fucking budget or care or fucking human decency to have a scene in the movie of them finding a body in the river, okay?
Okay.
Didn't have it.
That, all that aside, let's get to my favorite scene.
So, they release Barman from prison. So we put him in a fake police van.
We get a scene of an alleyway, and there's like six dudes...
Breakdancing.
Well, they're not really breakdancing. They're like popping and locking...
Yeah, like they have a boom box with hip hop, and it just shows this, and we're like, okay.
The entire street is empty except for these six dudes.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Just fucking just dancing.
And then
our police cruiser comes down.
Our fake police van pulls down this street, and they immediately like go right in front of them and start dancing in front of the car.
Now I want to preface this.
Was
the entire scene, there is five dudes.
Oh, really?
So, okay, there's six dudes total. While the sixth dude is doing his thing, the other five dudes, I shit you not, are literally just dancing in front of this fucking police vehicle.
As he's just like, what's going on?
So, yeah, he's like, what's going on? They're just fucking, they just keep dancing. Like, they fucking can't be bothered. Like, there's no fucking van there. And our sixth dude goes to the side
and he shoots
the cop. Mind you, they continue dancing.
They still dance.
They literally do not break for one second.
He goes in and he steals a key from the cop.
So he steals a key. He unlocks the door. And then you see the bar guy.
And he's like, what's going on?
And then the guy shoots him. And then we get another scene of them just dancing in front of the fucking van. And I lost my shit. Because at no point do they ever stop dancing.
No, they stop dancing after the guys die. After the guy's done.
Well, and it's weird because it's like, now all of a sudden, they want to get out of there fast.
Well, no, because he's finished and he grabs the boombox and they just run away.
Well, but they scatter like pigeons after that. It's like he's already fired one shot. You think that the game's already on.
No, the cover is still going. the cover goes.
You cannot stop the dance. You got to continue dancing until the job is done.
Until the mission is finished, okay?
Listen, I understand because you don't stop dancing.
You know what else I understand? Totally understand. This is never brought up again.
Creed said it the best. Children, don't stop dancing.
That is a deep cut.
Believe it, life. Wrong with it. Scott Stopp. Scott Stopp is my.
Are you telling me that this this movie and are on the same through line?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Some people would argue, yes.
This movie took me higher.
Yes.
I did not welcome this with arms wide open, but by the end of it.
Listen, our one way out guy was 6 feet from the edge.
He was thinking. Bro, I was 6 feet from the
edge. He was thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down, okay?
I was 6 feet from the edge by the end of this fucking thing. Okay? It's maybe put me in my own prison. But this is never mentioned again.
No, it doesn't. That's the funniest part. This scene doesn't even fucking matter.
It's a fucked up world.
You don't even see the dancers ever again.
No, this is never. This is pointless. Which is how I love my movies. Completely stupid and fucking pointless.
So anyway, when he beat up the guys, he got a little notebook from one of them.
Well, he conveniently... It's like a fucking video game. He punches the guy, and then just a fucking notebook just flopped on his chest. Remember?
Yes.
It's like when you play like Grand Theft Auto and you murder somebody and they just drop money.
Yeah.
It's like that. And he just picks it up and like looks through it.
It's like your character finds a key item.
Yeah.
And then you have to like use it for a future mission.
Well, there's a very coherent scene where he's at his telephone.
Well, no, because we need to set this up because he is at the telephone. But remember, this is after he loses his badge and gun.
Oh yeah,
because he murdered those guys.
Even though he tried to kill him.
But his
because your trope is that you have to have the scene where the captain's like, give me your badge and gun. But usually
there's a better reason.
Usually those movies are better written and better directed and better acted and better made and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, because there's a reason that they fucking get their badge and gun taken away.
Right. There's right.
Or like, you know, it's not so black and white. There's like a gray area.
There's coherence.
Yeah.
Hmm. Weird. But in this movie, so he murdered them in self-defense. They fucking shot at him while he was driving, for fuck's sake.
And he gets his badge and gun.
And then the captain's like, you've gone too far. Give me your badge and gun.
I mean, it kind of makes sense in the context of who the captain is at the end of the movie, but it's fine.
But he gives it over, and then that's it.
So now he's at his phone, and he decides to dial one number, and it's a disconnected phone line. So he's looking at his little like notebook, yeah. Right? And then he does another one, and it's like a landline for like a company.
Transport company? Yeah.
And then he calls a third one, and conveniently, it just happens to be the police captain.
He rudely interrupts the captain eating his KFC and mashed potatoes.
Because the wife even says, I got mashed potatoes.
She got mashed potatoes from KFC, Will.
Yeah, because he's eating fried chicken.
It's a fucking cheap-ass movie. Listen, I know.
You know. And then...
It's like they have catering.
So he's like, hello? And the, you know, our one way out just awkwardly sits on the phone. And the captain's like, hello? And he just hangs up.
And at first I was like, what the fuck?
Well, because the scene where he's looking through the notebook is so quick that if you don't, like, really pay attention...
The quality is also not there.
Well, what's weird is, like, this is the one key thing where it's like, maybe you should have lingered on that a little bit longer so that we knew that he was calling phone numbers from the phone book that he got from the guy. But they don't. They just like blast past it. And then he's just awkwardly calling three numbers and hanging up. Yep. So again, you're a little confused, but then it kind of clicks in. You're just like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. He was calling numbers from the fucking notebook he found.
And then he goes, there's a scene of him meeting some, I still don't know who this guy is, but he meets Mr.
Scully.
No, I know. His name is Mr. Plot Convenience. I got it.
Yeah, Scully the Plot Convenience.
Because he meets him on like a road overpass.
And apparently Scully can get any information this guy wants.
Yes, literally.
So he's like, hey, I need you to get me all the records for the captain.
And he's like, cool, I owe you. And then that's it.
And then he does. Somehow he produces a police captain's secret fucking
about
dossier.
His fucking secret condo in Maui
fucking,
and
his
shit.
His fucking like dossier of fucking like
he's got his tax returns,
high end secrets. And yeah. First, I don't know how they don't explain it.
This is literal gobbledygook. Okay,
it's to move the plot along as quickly as possible so we can get to the end.
And then I don't remember what causes the fucking captain to put a warrant out for him.
Well, because remember he...
my brain zapped.
He goes after someone.
Yeah.
And I think... No, he goes to the restaurant where the drug lord is, right?
Oh, he slaps him
and
with a menu!
He slaps him with a menu and threatens him.
That's it. That's too far.
He threatens him again, right? Because now he knows the captain's in on it. And he goes to threaten the crime boss for no reason.
With the menu.
And so now the crime boss calls the captain and is like, hey, you need to take care of this.
Yeah, so
your guy's off the rocker.
He pulls an arrest warrant on him. And then we get the most fucking stupid foot chase ever witnessed.
Oh my God.
In my life.
And it goes on for fucking ever.
It's him and three complete idiots running through the most empty environments
I'm not going to describe the whole thing for you.
No, it's like you don't need to.
But at a certain point, he literally like just like holds himself up against a wall to avoid these guys.
No. You need to like preface that because they run through this whole alleyway. They can't see him. They cannot see him. You're like, where is he?
He's like 3 feet above them.
He's like 7 feet above them. On like a little ledge, your fucking eyes.
Well, he's not even on the. He's not like hanging out on the ledge. He's literally pressing his body up against the wall
like a fucking lizard.
Like
and they don't see him, and then he jumps down and the chase commences again, and then eventually after like 5 minutes of just boring, just stupid, unexciting nonsense,
they start looking through dumpsters.
They were there. You looked through the dumpsters because that was when you saw him on the ledge.
Oh, that's right.
But
now we get a sped up shot of him running. They catch up to him and he runs.
He tries to run through a door.
He
and
runs
it's
into like a dead end and he like kicks it like and it's all sped up. This is entirely sped up.
Yeah, like Benny Hill shit.
And so he kicks the door and then like he like turns around. And it's all awkward. I have expected them to make like chipmunk noises like when you like fast forward something and it makes the like the high pitch like and then
I wish.
And so he fights them all in fast motion. Fights all of them and awkwardly kicks them all, and then
there's one bit though. Specifically,
well, so there's like a old young dude for no reason.
There's a young guy with dyed gray hair who he throws into a dumpster,
and
at some point there's like this shot of him just awkwardly wrestling with this guy, and they film it from like a rooftop, and you just see him wrestling with this fucking idiot. And then in the edge of the shot, you see the guy in the dumpster and his legs just waving there.
Well, and then it's not like he's like staying still, right? They're like moving up and down.
It's just, it says it all.
The incompetency on screen is like
ghastly.
It's so bad. So anyway, the cops.
Oh, I forgot how this scene started. Because remember, he goes to a gun store. And he tries to buy a Tommy gun.
And the cops catch up with him and they...
And they're like, you're under arrest. And he's like, okay.
And there's an awkward drive-by again.
And they try to drive by him and then the drive-by fails. And that's how he chases them and then they chase him. Yeah,
so then the cops catch up with him and they finally, you know, catch up with him and then he...
They don't catch up with him.
Oh, no, he gets away. Because he goes back to the lady's house. And
she goes back to her apartment and says, the captain's bad. Because
he's just awkwardly standing there when she gets home.
He's just staring out the window, yeah.
And she's like, I knew you would come here. Me, me, me.
And he's like, captain's bad.
And she's like, no way.
To go meet with him. And they
just sends her into the fucking mouth of danger.
She meets with him, and the captain's like,
the captain immediately knows.
He's like, you're in on it. Pulls a gun. Come with me.
Kidnaps her, takes her to the fucking...
He takes her to the abandoned warehouse where they threaten her with a dull chainsaw.
Not even a dull chainsaw. They take the chain off and they do... Again, cardinal sin number 1,000,000 in this fucking movie. You know how like in other movies they have like a close-up... like they'll have like a chainsaw for close-ups that has the chain on it so it looks all like gnarly and like... crazy, and they're about to cut into her.
Has to be believable.
And then from far away, you can take the chain off because you can't really see the chainsaw, right? Nope. This one, fuck it. They just take the chain off and fucking do a close-up of the chainsaw with no fucking chain.
Nothing. But, you know, she's like, okay, whatever. I'll tell. And then they tie her up, and they send a goon to her apartment, and he busts in, points a gun at one way out, and they just lovingly stare at each other for like
longingly
a minute.
Stare at each other.
And then the guy, and then they just leaves. So he takes them there, and they're all like being manhandled or whatever.
Well, and so One Way Out comes in.
And they're being manhandled, and One Way Out like kicks one of them in the foot.
And then they shoot
and the woman bites one of their like hands, and one of them shoots her.
When she dies, and
he beats all of them up.
He looks at her
and throws his coat on her.
Like the one person that's been helping him the entire fucking movie, and he literally looks at her like he cannot even be fucking bothered to show any emotion.
Nothing.
For her at all. So again, you have the most unlikable main character because he doesn't even give sympathy to the one fucking person that has been helping him the entire movie.
The one person who believed him. Then
he just inconvenient, like he's inconvenienced and just tosses a fucking coat on her like she's nothing.
Respect. And then he wanders over to the office of the main baddie who's having another drug deal. And then he goes in there and like stares at all of them. And the fucking baddie like shoots the guy he's selling drugs to.
Well, then he points the gun at One Way Out and they just stare at each other.
And then his bodyguard and One Way Out start brawling while the dude runs off.
I also want to bring this up. I know we're like getting close to a fucking hour in this recording, but like we need to explain everything in this movie. So the other like really annoying thing that annoyed me a lot is the amount of times that One Way Out could have gotten shot in this fucking movie is absurd. There's so many times that he could fucking like just die, right? Like realistically,
yeah.
They had so many opportunities to kill him and just stared at him.
He's got that plot armor.
But that? it's like insane plot armor. It's not even like he like gets out of the way soon enough or anything.
They just don't shoot him.
Like they just don't shoot him. They just fucking stare longingly into his eyes a lot of the time.
They just refuse to shoot him. He's just putting them to sleep.
So he fights the fucking bodyguard. He like chokes him.
He eventually chokes him out. And then...
then the drug lord's like having trouble starting his car. God. Here we go. This is the last like 15 minutes of the movie.
I thought it's been a while since I've experienced true insanity.
Like I'll be legitimate. I don't think I've ever fucking seen this level of fluffing and incompetent filmmaking.
No, the level of absolute fucking like audacity on display here.
Well, the fact that they like literally dragged this out as long as humanly possible, so that, like you're just at the peak of annoyance by the time it finally ends.
More like the peak of insanity, because you're just like, wait, they're doing this.
So. Okay.
So he goes there.
So first we get in the most incoherent like parking lot like shoot. Almost
he getting... shoots at him and we just have shots of like him firing a gun.
We get shots like of like the guy's wheel.
And... we get shots of like a dark fucking parking lot and the dude just rolling away constantly. And then eventually he like gets on top of the car.
Like death proof, like he's like holding onto the hood.
If you think this is going to be anything like Death Proof...
It's not. I'm just saying the position is like Death Proof.
He That's is the only on similarity. Top of his car, and he's and our dude drives away, and he's like on top of his car, and they keep doing this in like close-ups. They show the guy's face, and because they want you to believe. They really want you to believe.
And it's just our guy like squinting a little bit and just like pretending.
While they shine a flashlight on him.
I've never seen this level of like, hey, we're going to use a still car with a moving background, right?
No, I don't remember the last time I saw this level of like just bold fucking stupidity.
Movies from like the 30s did that better. Yeah.
No, like, it's... Well... At the very least, any other movie would have, like, at least something.
Well,
right?
Well, they'd also cut away so you didn't just think it was a stationary fucking car.
Yeah.
That they're rocking back and forth while a background is moving.
Yes, a fake fucking background.
A fake background any. That you, is very apparent because they show it full fucking on screen for longer than you should probably linger on this shit.
There's, like... The closest thing you get to reality is they have like these awkward POV shots of the car just like speeding down a fucking freeway.
I also love how like it's literally just a car driving at normal speed. Yeah. But they speed up.
They sped up, yeah.
And
but
because,
at some point
because there's also like certain points where it will come up to like a sign, right? And it's like showing it like zooming in on the up sign. To it,
yeah.
But it doesn't show the car crashing through the fucking sign or anything. It just cuts to him back on the top of the car. My favorite
bit, though, is there's a bit where he goes into, like, a parking garage.
Okay, so our guy, one way out, gets knocked under the top of the car at this point. And they're in a parking garage.
He's like laying on his back on top of this car.
Now, how is he holding on? I have no fucking idea.
Shh.
It doesn't matter. And we see... I guess my guess is what they're trying to show.
He's driving so fast.
Well, okay, so he's driving so fast, but I'm assuming what they were trying to imply.
Uh-huh.
And this is just a guess because I have no fucking idea actually, because they did not convey this. Is the ceiling is really low.
Oh no, Will.
Because he was like trying to like avoid like the lights.
Well, the
and
only
shit.
impression I got is that he was. My impression was he was driving so fast, he was so Benny Hill'd that One Way Out was struggling for dear life to hang on.
That could have been it too. I don't know, but
it looked like the fucking scene in Spies Like Us where they do the astronaut training and they're just blasting wind at their face because he's just like laying there on the car and he's got like his best O face.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing too. He doesn't look like he's struggling. It more looks like he's like in fucking like the rapture of like climax.
Yeah, he's fucking coming, and then they just keep. They show this POV shot of this car driving in a fucking circle,
like the same shot over and over and over and over and over,
and the whole time. And I think at this point, my brain was just like, I cannot believe this is. They're doing this.
At this point, I was like, when is this scene going to fucking end?
Never!
Because literally goes on for like 15 minutes.
So they leave the parking garage and they're on the freeway. And again, sped up Benny Hill chipmunk shit. And then it shows our guy, he's now again hanging on to the car. And it shows his hands and he's like, and they're like making you, they're trying to make you believe that he can't hold on.
Well, he's like letting go, right? So our guy... Our main bad dude
takes the gun.
Well, he has a gun, right? That he's unloaded,
and he takes it
while driving high speed on the freeway.
You see him meticulously.
He just like slowly loads.
Meticulously loads it.
Yeah, like completely still. Too.
One bullet.
He's not even fucking moving the steering wheel.
Nope.
He just fucking is a still shot of him loading the fucking revolver. And again, since One Way Out has the most incredible plot armor ever.
He dodges every shot.
He is like spread eagle on this fucking roof of this car, like easily shootable. You could just go to the middle of the fucking cab, pull the trigger, and I guarantee you would fucking kill this dude.
Nope, he dodges
every he dodges every fucking bullet.
And then eventually,
he gets knocked to the trunk.
He's somehow on the trunk and somehow not flying off.
But he's like punching the fucking glass. Like, then, it's some superhero shit.
And then the fucking guy turns around and shoots it and, of course, busts the glass open. And then one way out just...
knocks the glass out.
Knocks all of it out.
And he gets in the cat. He gets in the back of the seat and he, like, awkwardly stares at our guy's gun.
Well, it's empty.
And the guy tries to unload it, but it's empty. And then as he's looking behind him, he doesn't see the barrier coming up. And so he crashes into the barrier. There's no fucking... like, the front of the car doesn't get damaged.
You don't see anything.
Well, like, even the airbag doesn't deploy or anything.
Just, the only reason you know it's damaged is because of fucking sound effects. Because they do one way out flies out of the front.
And, like, rolls on the ground.
And then our dude is in there, and then he's, like, you see him, like, it's so incoherent, because he just, like, you see, like, an awkward close-up of the door.
He's, like, trying to get out of the car, right?
No, you see, like... you see, like, avant-garde close-ups of, like, door leather, and then, like, our dude just, like, fucking tapping it, and I'm just like, okay.
And then the car explodes.
And then one way out is walking away.
And he awkwardly keeps looking behind him back at the fire.
And then, oh my god, and then he show his fucking apartment again. And then he's loading up the gun again.
Oh my god.
And he loads it up, points it at his head, and then he points it away... and then shoots, and then movie end. Bro.
Fuck.
Bro. Okay. This is dumb.
This is some stupid, deeply fucking stupid this shit.
This is some incredible garbage. Like.
Well, and that's the thing. The amount of effort that went into something this fucking stupid...
well, it's not even effort. It's like the absolute audacity.
I know.
The audacity to try and pass this off as like a legitimate action movie. Listen.
The fact that they thought they were fucking cooking with all these scenes.
The ending with him on the top of the car, everything about that was so incoherent and so... it was like a...
well, and like
drawn, it was like a 5-year-old wrote
like
it.
Drawn out as fuck. Like there's no reason it should have been that fucking long.
No, it was like something a 5-year-old would come up with. It's just
it's like a 5-year-old playing with a car and just keeps circling it over and over again.
And they put like a little action figure on top of it. Like it's just that ending melted my brain. Like,
and again, we're doing a fucking third suicide scene
at the end of the movie, and then he turns away.
Third one?
Okay.
After cutting away for twice and then literally showing him like putting the gun away and firing, what significance is that supposed to hold?
That he doesn't want to die anymore? I don't know.
Why would he still fire the fucking gun?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Why did they... he just fires the gun in his apartment and is like, okay.
Because this movie's...
we don't see him get back on the force. We don't see...
because the movie's made by stupid people.
Yeah. Like, nothing... there's no conclusion to any character because everyone fucking dies except for our main dude.
Except for our guy, yeah.
And he just doesn't fucking care. He doesn't care. He doesn't feel betrayed by the fucking, like, police chief.
That would require showing emotion.
He doesn't fucking care about his partner dying. He doesn't fucking care about anything in the movie. There is literally nothing to relate to with this fucking character. That's the most annoying part for me. There's nothing there. It's just a fucking automaton.
That would require emotion.
He's just a fucking robot.
Listen. That would require emotion, and we can't have that. Because he's damaged.
RoboCop had more emotion than this fucking guy.
I know.
Well, RoboCop.
Well, RoboCop's an actual masterpiece of a movie. This is...
well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, comparing apples to oranges, really.
This is something else. Shitty pretty.
Fuck me.
Because, listen.
We go on entertainment value. If you're new here, it's out of entertainment value, so it may seem high. But trust us when we say that this movie is deeply fucked.
This movie is trash, but we love this movie.
As I said before, this movie at a certain point it just fucking gets so deep fried that like it's almost incomprehensible.
It's not incomprehensible. It's just, it's so stupid.
I said almost incomprehensible.
No, it's comprehensible. It's just, it's so simplistic.
Well, they fucking, like, they fried the shit out of it at the end.
The deep frying is the fact that it's so stupid. It's just...
Oh, it's deeply, deeply fucking
it's
stupid.
It's so borderline fucking comical.
That being said, 8.
I was gonna say... Yeah. Yeah. 8.
Because holy fuck, did I have a... Just...
Now, I will say, if the whole movie... was like the last 20, 25 minutes. Holy shit. I would probably give it even higher than an 8 because it would approach all time stupid.
Well, I've said this before. Like, you know, if you're going to do that fucking like weird balls to the wall, like we don't give a shit fucking filmmaking, just make the whole movie that.
Well, that's one of the things about this, right? It's got that, but you know that somebody was trying something.
But I've also said it before where it's like, if you're going to go that crazy at the end, just make the whole movie crazy.
I don't know. I think
it'd be more entertaining.
I think our dude thought he was cooking.
Well, he did, but like I'm just saying, like
by being like, I mean, it was so stupid.
At a certain point, you think someone would pull him to the side and be like, "Bro, like, what the fuck are we making?"
No,
like
this is an auteur, okay?
Be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And he's like, "It's my vanity project. We're gonna do what I want.
I wrote it. I produced it. Do what I want.
I'm like Stallone."
Yeah, this is...
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm like Stallone when he made Cobra.
I've seen Lethal Weapon.
I've seen Lethal Weapon. We're going to have ideas from both those movies.
I'm going to throw everything in here.
It's like,
I can't fucking believe it.
When someone approached him and be like, "Have you ever made a movie before?" And he's like, "No. No, I have not."
Everyone's got to start somewhere, well.
Maybe him and the director were friends. Because this director sucks, too. He's been on our podcast.
He's been on our podcast, and he's a fucking idiot. And he was an idiot 10 years before this movie, he's still an idiot.
He made Revolt, and that was...
Not Revolt.
Not Revolt.
Death Machines.
Death Machines.
The movie where the bank manager gets blown up.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah. Same guy.
And that was a deeply stupid movie, too. So he didn't learn his fucking lesson.
So basically what you're saying is our director's a genius.
Absolutely.
A genius of garbage.
Yeah. He lives in a dumpster.
Those dumpsters in the...
Those were his home.
Listen, I made the obvious comment when they started looking through dumpsters. I'm like, that's where this movie belongs.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And at a certain point, you're the guy with his legs hanging out, just swinging in the
fucking...
That was
me. He was dumpster diving.
Yeah, we were dumpster diving.
I was dumpster diving movie. When I found this movie.
We were dumpster diving when we watched it.
Matter of fact, you could say... Jesus. I'm choking my own spit like a fucking idiot. A massive part of our podcast world is dumpster diving.
That's the whole fucking point of the podcast.
You know, I know we get like masterpieces like Cobra and Friday the 13th Part 6. But every now and then we find just things like this.
Well, at least we haven't found bottom of the fucking dumpster shit again, like fucking Savage Water. Or fucking Curse of the Headless Horseman, or
Black
Devil. Or fucking Black Devil. That movie will never not be in my mind. Anyway, if you want to go watch One Way Out,
it's on Tubi.
Go to Tubi. You can watch it for free. There is ads.
There is also a version on YouTube, but it is in worse quality than the Tubi one.
You can also rent it on Amazon.
I'm pretty sure it's the same quality as the Tubi version.
Yeah, so it's going to be same quality. There is no fucking HD remaster of
this
shit.
No, this is not that kind of movie.
So, if you do want to watch it, it is a very fun time, especially if you're with friends.
Get a friend.
And
please.
Get a friend, and alcohol is probably required.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have alcohol, I would say maybe avoid this one.
You need the proper mindset here.
You need the dumb lubrication. You need to fucking, like, kind of get your brain on the same wavelength of this fucking movie.
Well, this movie was the, film debut of our man, the actor, writer, producer.
I could have fucking, I didn't even know that fact, and I guarantee you I could have told you that.
That's amazing. I love that.
The competency on display, the, well, is about right? Incompetency, but the competency you see from him just screams that he has never amateur. Fucking made a movie in his entire fucking life.
You know, I love that.
He probably didn't even go to like any like
are you
sort
freaking
of like
kidding me?
No education on
bro,
fucking like
get the fuck out of here. There's no film school.
He
here.
Didn't even fucking study the way no. of like how to fucking write a script.
The way
how to fucking you know.
He studied the way of not acting.
He just hadn't. He just saw Lethal Weapon and Cobra and was like,
I want to do that.
I have enough money that I can pay a director to direct my vanity project.
Genius. I love that.
Let's get a fucking like a bunch of people behind it and make the stupidest shit we've ever seen in our entire lives.
Yeah, and 30 plus years later, two guys will watch it and lose their minds.
Yeah, but I would suggest this movie if you want something just so fucking deeply stupid and fried and just dumb. Just
you have to see
this. Just sit back, enjoy it, and have some friends with you when you do it.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
That's it. Be there this Sunday.
Be there this Sunday. We're playing fucking 6 hours of games, or if we last that long.
Start around noon.
Come hang out.
Mountain Standard Time.
You know, we'll talk about all the shit.
Whatever you want to talk about.
Yep, and we'll
whatever we want to talk about.
We'll play bad games, or we'll probably have audio issues. We'll probably have fucking stream breaks. It's fine.
We'll get through it, like we always do.
Okay. We will struggle through, like usual.
We'll get through it.
So be patient with us, but also come hang out. And if you don't, watch it later.
It'll be on YouTube forever.
So anyway, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all of you. For They Mostly Come Out at Night. This has been Will.
This has been Alex.
And we will see you one way out.
One way out.
I'm going to fucking beatbox in the fucking parking lot and fucking just pull over a fucking van while my friend shoots someone and fucking just keep breakdancing.
They were dedicated, right? I respect that.
Fuck yeah.
Dedicated to the craft.
Hell yeah.